Welcome to Random Gaming Talk, it's Entertainment Talk's podcast for video games. I'm your host Matthew. Joining me today, my co-host is Robert. How's it going?
Hey, it's going good. Just trying to survive the winter snap here. I was talking with Mel the other day, trying to describe, because she lives kind of in that same-ish area. You guys don't get the wild swings of weather we do over here in the state. And the easiest way I can only describe the weather is that it's like that bipolar chick you meet at the club that you know you shouldn't take home, but the sex is just too damn good. So
I did not think you were going down that road, but okay.
Oh, well, that's the only way to describe it, because Sunday we had a high of 7 Fahrenheit, which is minus 14 C. And this is after we got 4 inches of snow. And the day before that, we got 4 inches of snow. And Thursday, it's going to be 50s, which is like 17-ish C, and rain. So that's in a 4-day time span.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, bipolar is about the only way to survive it. Describe it, rather.
Cool.
And we're not even getting the worst of the cold, because you go up to like Minnesota, it'll be negative 20 and they don't even blink.
Hmm. Nice. Speaking of weather, yeah, today I did actually get, would you call it a three piece? There's three different items, so whatever, of a, I guess, winter beanie thing, a neck scarf, which is the first ever neck scarf I've had, and some actual gloves that fit properly, because I got some, obviously, for those of you who don't know, I ride an e-scooter, and yes, I'm more someone who's more sensible on it, because I do not want to crash. Anyway, the last time, because I had my scooter last winter, so obviously a year ago, and realised, like, oh yeah, my hands will be exposed, and I'm going to need to, I can't put them in my pocket, can I? And then I bought, like, you know those fibre phone-friendly gloves? Bought a pair of them last year. The fingers were like too long for my fingers, and I just didn't like them at all. And like, it was, it just didn't work. So I went for some like actual fabric ones, this time. And within less than a minute of, using the brakes and everything else, worked so much better. So I'm glad I got those. The next car's kind of interesting. So, yeah. Anyway, yeah, that's my winter stuff, I suppose. And we'll see how that goes. All right, video games. What have you been playing?
Mostly Ark Raiders. No real surprise here. The Winter Snap event launched today. I haven't had a chance, unfortunately, to play it yet, as my Steam client decided to piss itself and die. So I got it back up and running right, like, 3 minutes before you called, so I'll probably check that out a little bit after we get done here. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of excited because the 2.5 Survivor update for 7 Days to Die is coming out here soon. It's in the beta phase now, and then it'll get its live release. I'm actually going to try to figure out a way to see if I can like record game and upload it. I've been wanting to do that for a while. I just haven't gotten around to it because, like I've said before, I tend to be very ADHD with my gaming, because I'll have a game on and then I'll have like a YouTube channel or something on the second window and kind of, split my brain between both. And you can't do that when you're recording game content. Well, you could, but it would be not great. Mm. So I'm gonna at least try it, see if my hardware can handle it. I've had to put off buying new hardware because every RAM manufacturer on the planet decided, fuck the economy, fuck the gaming masses. We're all in on AI, and RAM prices have gone batshit crazy. Literally the same RAM you could have bought 6 months ago is now 3 times the price. And I'm not even, that's not even hyperbole. Like, there's this one build I had priced out, and the RAM was like $119 for the amount I wanted. And I just checked it yesterday, and that same RAM was $315.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
Well.
until things sort themselves out, I'm not paying triple price for panic buying. So
Yeah. Well, Stephen Hawking did warn us about AI, and none of us listened. So he also warned us about robots and things like that. So, yeah.
What's really
It's
interesting, if you know
ironic
the
that.
history, you've heard the term of somebody being called a Luddite as being anti-technology. They weren't actually anti-technology. Their fear was that automation would result in the loss of human jobs, which they kind of got right.
It's kind of ironic that he told us all of these important things. He passed away, and then some of us deemed him the most intelligent man in the world, and then didn't listen to him. So that's a bit backwards. So I don't know. I don't know what we're doing in these days. Anyway, you said Arc Raiders, you're quite enjoying it. Nice.
Probably the best description I've heard from it, in terms of being an extraction shooter, the thing you have to get your mindset around is that your equipment is not yours. You're just using it right now.
Okay. Cool. Anything else?
No, I really haven't had time to game a whole lot, but with next week being Christmas, I got 2 days off and nowhere to go, and weather's gonna be shit, so let's cook this baby.
Nice. Just to explain where we missed last week. No, that's not right. Why we missed last week? I was just a bit ill and just didn't quite have the energy for the show. But I thought, hey, if we just come back next week and just wrap things up with, because this will be our last Gaming Talk podcast of the year. We usually do one more after the Game Awards because usually the Game Awards are the last thing of the year anyway. And then anything else that comes out over the break, we will cover in the new podcast in the new year. I don't have a date for us to come back. I'm trying to focus on finishing the year rather than worrying about how I start the next one. So, which is interesting. I've just remembered this just now. I think it definitely wasn't 3 years ago. It was either last year or the year before. We did our last wrap up gaming talk for a year, for the year of a year. And then I remember after that, remember when the news came out of Last of Us Online getting cancelled? And then we had to come back. Although I think there was a Geek Town. I can't remember how this all worked out. I remember this for some weird reason. You know how you just have like random memories that you store for some reason? And then I had like a Geek Town episode, which was after the gaming talk. So I remember talking about it first on that. It's funny just how things work out. But yeah, any other stories that come out, we'll simply cover them when we come back. But for me with gaming stuff, I am very much knee deep in one Ghost of Yote or Yotai. I'm enjoying it quite a lot so far. Yeah, I am about my PlayStation says 14 hours. It feels like about 20, and that's not like a negative thing. I don't know how accurate that clock is because I don't know how you judge it anyway. And on the save files, I didn't see because sometimes how you have like a save file and then your console's clock will have like different times, I guess. Although I think for like clocks and things like that for games, if you leave your game suspended and turn off your console, that game's still kind of running, especially in games like Liza P, for example, which doesn't actually pause, so it is still running. Plus you've got the quick resume stuff. Anyway, yeah, really enjoying it so far. I've got very much kind of stuck into, hey, go here, do this thing, go here, do this thing, and I've been kind of getting more encouraged to do some of the open world stuff. There's a few different parts of this game that are coming together in interesting ways. So you've got obviously the story and the characters. I'm not going to get into specific spoiler territory, but it is a revenge story. But I won't tell you who you're getting revenge for. But it does that, and then there's essentially a group called the Yote Six, which is this group of six people that caused this particular thing to happen. And your objective is to go after them and kill them, which sounds quite simple. You take one of them down like right at the very start of the game, pretty much. It's almost a sort of tutorial level. Or the tutorial sort of level, and I think I've just done the second one, maybe. But yeah, I've gotten firmly into kind of, you know, those open world games, and I was saying this on Geek Town, which is out for this week. I was saying kind of like, you know, you have your open world, and you go, right, I'm gonna get on with the main quest, and you open your map, you click on the waypoint. Obviously, with this, it's the wind that guides you, which I think fits in really well. Same with the Tsushima, and go, oh, there's a little camp here. Let me check that out. Talk to these people. Get involved with that. Then, oh, there's a bird that's gonna guide me somewhere to get something cool. And then there's a shrine. And then there's a this. And then there's a that. And 30 minutes goes by, and you haven't got any closer to your actual marker. But I'm enjoying that it is doing that, because I'm feeling I like with games like this, you know, the games that have got sort of busy work in a way, where it's like, hey, if you do this, you'll get rewarded with this and that. I'm feeling more rewarded from it, and I'm loving doing the sort of bamboo strike stuff. That's like one of my favorite side things to do in the game. The praying, I can't remember what they're called, the bits where you go and you pray, that the shrines, I think they're called. You go there, you get a new like ability point, and you put that into, you know, getting a new skill or something. So that's been really good. Started getting that built up. The bamboo strikes give you more focus, which lets you use more abilities and heal more and that sort of thing. There's also the mini camping thing to like build a fire and rest. You can then play music there. You can cook food as well for Atsu to get, you know, refreshed. You can then sleep there. So I found that really, really nice as well. You and the audience both know me, Robert. I love a good bit of haptic feedback. And this game's not been like full of haptic feedback, but where the haptic feedback has been in this game, it's really making a good use of it. And when you have things like lots of interactable things and stuff like swords, which can be, you know, sharpened and things like that, there's some really, really interesting uses of it. Both in cutscenes and stuff like that, and in the you'll get like a cooking thing at a certain point. So you'll have your DualSense controller, and you know, with the touchpad, you'll sort of flick it to make the little flint to strike the flint to get that, and then you sort of tap R2 to do the you know, and you blow air onto fire to like sustain it. So you do that, and then that opens the cooking thing. You then raise and lower your food with the controller, and then you sort of flip the food over to, you know, do the other side. Found that to be really great. There's also the one with the sword. Obviously, use the fire, you hammer it, you flip it over. That's been really great. All of that is full of really great haptic feedback. There's lots of stuff with like there's a cutscene I just did a couple of hours ago where Atsu in the cutscene is sharpening her sword, and you can like feel the grind like going up and down on the sword, like in tune with how she's doing it in the cutscenes. I found that to be really great. There's things like sometimes the galloping from the horses that comes, like little thudding sort of footsteps. That's really good. The water's there sometimes, some like splooshes through the controller for the water. Not every single time, but for most times. What else is there? There's like other little ones here and there as well, but it's a really interesting implementation of it. It's not sort of full on, and it's not all the time, but when it stands out, it really, really stands out. So that's been great. I think Atsu herself is a really interesting character. Of at the start, and maybe it's because things are kind of thin at the start, because you're just getting the what's that phrase called? Is it tip of the iceberg? Yeah, before you even get to like the tip of the iceberg, and it's sort of like, okay, Atsu went through this thing, she's gonna go and kill six people, and feels a little bit basic at the start. There's been a few story things that have happened, which has been really, really interesting, and you get a bit more depth to her as you go through, so that's been really great. The only thing that isn't quite clicking for me is that I understand the combat, and it's got some interesting animations. Now, maybe it's the way I'm playing it. Because there is a lot going on, you know, there's people shooting arrows at you, there's people with different weapons, you've got your couple of different weapons that you use. I'm not getting into a great flow with the combat, and I don't think it's because like it's not great, or it's not intriguing or interesting. I'm not quite sure why that is at the moment, but Like the stab and the chop sort of animations are really great. You can pick up like an enemy's weapon if they dropped it, and you can throw it at another enemy. You'll get like your different sort of parryable, unblockable attacks, and then ones where you can sort of disarm an enemy or they can disarm you, so you've got to get out of the way of that. So all of the mechanics for an interesting combat system are there. I've just not quite, maybe it's just I haven't got into a good flow with the combat yet. I'm not completely sure. But yeah, I can see it's like I'm noticing some extra layers to certain things, like within the story and within some of the characters that are starting to come through. And I'm just curious to see where it sort of goes next. I've just unlocked the second, not island, but the second like part of the map, which lets you go into a new area. I'm not completely done with the first area, although I'm not necessarily going for the platinum. It's just sort of if there's a wolf den or an altar or something like that, I want to go and pick up all those things. So yeah, been very good so far. I don't know if I would. I remember enjoying Tsushima a lot at this point. Now, I don't remember a ton of Tsushima because I played it once and that was 5 years ago, and obviously a lot of things have happened in the 5 years. I certainly do think, at least early on, because remember in Tsushima it was you had the sword and the four stances. That would be sort of like how you'd adapt to different enemies, and this is four different weapons, which I think is a more interesting idea. Because yeah, I just don't remember a ton of Tsushima itself. I remember it had similar kind of revenge things, and obviously there's a lot of similarities between the games themselves. But I feel like I'm enjoying Tsushima more at the moment. But I think that's also because there's certain new sequel ideas which are just interesting, which simply weren't in the previous game. I find it more interesting on that basis. I don't know. It's still early yet, and obviously I've finished Tsushima and I haven't finished Yota yet. So, yeah. Any thoughts on, I guess my thoughts or anything you've seen of Ghost of Tsushima?
not really. I mean, I had no interest in playing it, as we've talked about before on the podcast, so I don't feel the need to get into that. It's exclusive right now to
Oh yeah, you couldn't play it anyway because you don't.
PlayStation 5.
Yeah.
So that made it doubly irrelevant. And outside of that, the game just didn't really want to draw me in.
Yeah, that's fair. But yeah, it's just got some interesting new mechanics, which like, hey, sequel, new ideas. That's what you should be doing. It's also, I guess, important to remember this is a PS5 game, and Tsushima, while it is on PS5 with what a director's cut, it is a PS4 game, so you've got that difference there as well. There is also the kind of asterisk. Now, I know I always find a way to bring up Last of Us on every single podcast, but if we remember, Tsushima came out like right next to Last of Us, so I obviously had that going on in my brain. I think it was, yeah, Last of Us was first, and then Tsushima was what, like August of that year, so. There was not to say that that like went against Tsushima, but there's that asterisk to it as well. But maybe like once I finish Tsushima, because I'm curious to maybe revisit Tsushima and see, not for like direct comparison, but just to kind of remember it, I suppose. So there we go. That's all I've really been managing to play recently. That's kind of really sucked me in. So I'm just yeah looking forward to going back and getting more stuff, pushing the story forward, getting some more weapons, and seeing where things go. All right, so what we've been playing, let's get into some housekeeping. We'll see you for that in a second. Hi there. If you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link, which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system, which is usually in the bottom right hand corner, to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there. If you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcast that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for 2 episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps, and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch 2 episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show. Alright, so recently on Entertainment Talk, it's been both a very busy time for Entertainment Talk and Geek Town. I'll try and mention as many things as we can throughout this podcast. There's like a lot of podcasts that have come out in the last couple of weeks. One of them just from yesterday was the United Cast. We drew 4-4 with Bournemouth in one of the maddest games you'll ever see. Still just too many negative points. Yes, we scored 4 goals, but man, did they find it easy to cut through us, just like almost every team manages to do so. Of course, some of our players are going away for the AFCON, which is the African Cup of Nations. So Mbeumo, Mazraoui, and Diallo, or Ahmad, are going to be away for about a month or so. So we'll have to figure out who's going to play in their positions. We do play next away against Aston Villa, which sounds like a difficult game, but apparently they haven't beaten us for a while, so we'll see how that all goes. But yeah, we just about clung on to our halftime record, which, for those of you who don't know, since, because I had it on the screen yesterday, since 1984, if Man United have led, so been winning at halftime at home in the Premier League, haven't lost from that position since 1984, and our goalkeeper had to make 3 like really big saves in the last 5 minutes, so just about clung on to that, which is nice. Anyway, it's the United Cast. Over on the big one for this year, the best and worst, we've done that podcast. Best and worst for 2025 for TV, video games, and films. Obviously, going through, you know, the best and worst of all of our lists, most disappointing, best performers, and any other bits and pieces that came up. That was myself, David and Gray. So Gray coming back to Entertainment Talk to give us obviously his list as well. So yeah, that was really, really cool to do. Obviously the big podcast for the year, so go and check that one out. It's on every single podcast feed. I do that every year, so go and check that one out. Over on a new little mini-series I have created and scheduled, it's called Ranking Pixar's Films in order to continue celebrating Pixar's 30th anniversary post Toy Story 1. So yeah, this is ranking all 29 of their films. The first episode is spots 29 to 26. I couldn't do 5, 5, 5, and 5 for each one. 4 films is the first one because they have 29 films, not 30, so odd number. But for the next 5 episodes, it will be the next 5 each time, leading up eventually to the top 5. Pixar films. So if you want to know, because obviously I've praised Pixar over the years, if you want to know what I think Pixar's worst film is, you can find out on that podcast. So go and check that one out. Over on the United Cast, we also did beat Wolves by 4-1, which was its own story. Over on some TV season reviews, gave a possible skip rating to Has Been Hotel Season 2. Has been renewed for 3 and 4, and we'll see where those go. We also drew 1-1 with West Ham, which was also disappointing. Over on Becoming Heisenberg for Breaking Bad, we've now finished our coverage of Breaking Bad Season 4 at Season 4, Episode 13. Face Off, very big episode there. Incredible piece of television over there. We are going to try and come back next year for Breaking Bad Season 5. Of course, we can do it whenever we want because it's a rewatch podcast. But we'll have to see how schedules line up. Have to see what comes out and when next year, but we'll see what we do with that. Over on, of course, my news from already 2 weeks ago. It's called Overcoming Liza P and Myself, talking about my story, my version of how I finished in the end Liza P and beat that damn nameless puppet. He's finally dead in my version of the game. I should mention as well, as I've just mentioned Liza P, I was going to mention it in my sort of things I've been doing. I'm going to stream, I think I might do it tomorrow, 8 p.m. UK time. It's going to have to be on Twitch because you cannot stream through YouTube directly on Xbox. Otherwise, I would do it through our YouTube channel. It's twitch.tv/eTalkUK. If you search for either eTalkUK or Entertainment Talk on anything, those should be our things. Go and, is it follow, subscribe, whatever the button is, and you'll be notified. If you might not be able to catch it for that, or you just want to watch it on YouTube, I should be able to still, you can still export videos from Twitch to YouTube, can't you? I mean, I haven't done it for a long time, but I'm pretty sure you can still do that. Yeah, it should be exported to our YouTube channel anyway, so in case you miss it, or you don't like Twitch or something, or whatever, or you find it awkward, because Twitch isn't as like accessible as YouTube, is it? Anyway, if you miss the stream and you want to watch it later, of course I'll have to go and do it first. It'll be on our YouTube channel, which is Entertainment Talk Plays. My plan for that is I'm going to not aim to actually defeat anything. It's going to be more kind of like a, when I say stroll through, I don't mean just boringly walk through the game. I mean like revisit areas, revisit certain memories. There's going to be some other just stuff that I do on that stream. I don't know how long it will be. Shouldn't be any longer than an hour, maybe, but we'll see. Anyway, twitch.tv/ I think eTalkUK, or you can go to Entertainment Talk Plays on YouTube. It should be over there. If there was the option to stream straight to YouTube on Xbox, I would do that. Because I'm always promoting our YouTube channel ahead of the Twitch, because I don't use the Twitch thing really anymore. Anyway, go and check that out if and when you can. Of course, over on the actual gaming talk from last week, talked about the special announcement, talked about Rosie leaving Access, and some social media reviews. Over on some video game reviews, did a hard skip rating for Little Nightmares 3, and that's what we've been doing recently on entertainmenttalk.org and on podcast platforms. Just to mention two other reviews recently, which was Dispatch and Keeper, which are two other video games that I reviewed recently. Yeah, that's it for the housekeeping and what you can find on entertainmenttalk.org and on podcast platforms. Let's get in some news. Alright, on to the news. I don't know how long the Game Awards will take us to go through. Probably some time, so I've only got that written down for this week. We'll get onto your stuff after, Robert. I think it will be easier to go announcements first, because I think doing the awards will be quicker. Now, what we're going to do with this is, of course, we're not going to remember. There's already some titles I can see in front of me that I can't remember the names of, and even while I was watching the Game Awards. Look, not every game is going to be for everybody, so some of the trailers I like saw and was like, okay, that looks like something, and then I forgot about it 2 minutes later. There were some big things that did stand out, and we could talk about those. I wonder if we should go with our overall thoughts first before we get into the videos. I thought it was a pretty decent show. I do think last year's show was better. I don't know if this was actually, I felt like this was a longer show than last year, and I couldn't quite figure out why that was, because they don't do the stage thingamabob for every single award, do they? Sometimes they burn through like four or five of them in about a minute, so that takes up like less time. But this is like one of the first years when, like there's some interesting games coming out, certainly we'll talk about them, but there's not like a one that stands out to me. And it's interesting that they end, I can't even remember the name of it already, the one that they did the one last thing for, and it was this like first person hero shooter thing, and it was like, okay, that's a weird note to end on. So I don't think it was a bad show, I don't think it was one of the stronger ones in the last couple of years. I was very, very happy about a lot of the winners. Of course, 40% of the winners were Expedition 33.
Yep.
But we'll get onto the awards in a minute. But yeah, I'll ask you your overall thoughts and then go into some of the individual announcements. What did you think overall?
Overall, I thought the show was adequate. It wasn't like blow your mind away, but it wasn't like cringe. Like it was that one year when they brought Al Pacino on stage and you were wondering if he was drunk or being senile or both. You know, I had a decent flow to it. We can get into some of the individual announcements later, but for the most part, it was leaving me disappointed. The one you were talking about that they ended on, that is getting destroyed online, like badly ratioed into oblivion.
I saw that. Do you think that's specifically because of what the game is, or because it was the last announcement? I think it's maybe both is the
Oh
answer.
yeah, it's definitely a mix of both.
Yeah, because if that was just like some random thing in the middle of the show, I don't think anybody would remember to mention it. And when it was weird, because when they went to show it, I sort of almost forgot that Jeff said this was the last bit, and then there wasn't any more after that. So yeah, that was just a weird way to kind of end the show. Anyway, what else were you gonna say?
Oh, I mean, I have thoughts on a couple of things, but when we'll get into the individual bit of it, I'm just looking up the name of that game now because I honestly can't remember it either.
Okay, maybe find the actual start of the no, it's further up. I cannot for life of me remember what was first. There's the
Highguard, that's what it is.
there's oh, is that what it was called? Okay.
Yeah.
They had the women-led game showcase. That was nice. Or the She Makes Games or something, when they brought those women out and they'd been making games. That was cool. I think if, as I'm scrolling through, if I don't remember the name of the game or the thumbnail, then I obviously have nothing to say about it. Obviously, if you have any after I've gone through this to pick out, then obviously we can do that. I'm gonna talk about Pragmata first. That's just the first one I notice. I'm kind of disappointed in this. I've say it like I've already played it. I still remember probably 3 to 4 years ago when this game was first announced, and I remember there was some weird stuff about like, oh, is this Kojima's next game? Because it looked a bit like that kind of thing, and then the game just disappeared for like 4 years. And I remember they put out a gameplay thing, might have been on a state of play or something like that, about a month ago. And I remember seeing it and being like, okay, I'm just generally underwhelmed by what this looks like. Not because it's not a Kojima game, but just because it looked underwhelming. And then they showed this trailer, and while I do like the idea of a companion type thing, because obviously there's things like, Mandalorian, Last of Us again, and all those sorts of things, and having an AI companion can be cool. There's just something that just, because I've now seen, two trailers and the gameplay that has been shown, and each time I've seen a new thing from this game, I've just been more, my excitement gets pushed down further from this. Now, will I give it a chance when it comes out? Maybe. But it just kind of didn't. Maybe because I thought it was going to be something else. It just, I don't know, the gameplay looks different to what I think it almost should be. Any thoughts on Pragmata?
It's not the type of game that I would play. Isn't there a demo out for it though?
Is there? Oh,
I could have
I don't know.
swore there's a demo. Let me double check.
Okay. But for those of you who don't remember, this is the there's a guy in a spacesuit and a young girl with long blonde hair, and she's the companion that can help you fight the robots in the end worlding type story. So yeah, we'll see what that's like when it comes out. Bradley the Badger, what was that? There was a game I remember, I don't know if it is this one, it was a bit of a weird looking game, and you sort of he wakes up. And there's like some fun little platforming mechanics. I don't know if that's that game, but that one that they showed looked kind of interesting. Looked a bit kind of Double Fine, Devolver Digital-esque, but hopefully isn't as weird as Devolver Digital's games. Hopefully that's the same game that I'm actually talking about. Is there a demo? Did you find one?
That's what I'm looking up right now.
Okay.
Looks like, yeah, there is a demo out.
What, on everything or like
Doesn't
just
the
Steam?
article doesn't say. It just says playing the demo. I would have to assume it's on all the platforms.
Don't know why it wouldn't be. So, would it be Xbox,
Yeah.
PlayStation, PC?
Yeah, it's supposed to come to Switch too.
There was a surprising amount of newer games shown, like Resident Evil Requiem for Switch 2. Maybe that thing's more powerful than what I thought it is, or maybe they're just going to be really downgraded versions of those games. Still ain't playing them on Switch 2 because one, don't have one, and two, Joy-Cons. Do you remember this Bradley the Badgered World premiere, and is it the same game I'm remembering?
I don't remember.
Okay. If I click on it, will I get ads? Yes, I will. I'll let that load the bottom. Then we've got some awards. We'll go through those in a minute. Stupid Never Dies. I think that was one that I skipped over. All right, let's check out this. Yes, it is this game. You're a badger in some sort of strange world, and you have some interesting, like, not fourth wall breaking stuff, but some fun kind of mechanics. So yeah, that looked kind of interesting. To be on for that. Star Wars Fate of the Old Republic. Everybody lost their minds at this. Me and David talked about it on Geek Town. Here's my thing with this. I've been hearing the name Republic, this, that, and the other for what feels like 10 years. Whether it was a show that was attempted, a film that was attempted, or there was going to be some sort of show, if I remember. Of course, there's been like 50 different trilogies announced for Star Wars over the last 5 years, none of which are going to be happening because, crappy leadership and whatnot. Like almost every big name director you can think of has at one point been attached to a Star Wars trilogy, and every single one of them it feels like has been cancelled after about 2 weeks for some reason or another. But so this is a new. So this isn't a remake of KOTOR. This is a new version of it. And I get it, Casey Hudson, BioWare, all that sort of stuff. I get why people are excited for this, but and if it comes out in the next, before 2077 or something, I'll check it out. It just I saw this trailer and everybody was losing their mind. I was like, okay, I get why people who are in that camp of, they've played those games, played all the BioWare games and that, why you would be excited. It just feels like this game's like 10 years away or something. And I saw that there was some sort of joke about, oh, this is going to be out in like 2031 on the PlayStation 7. So it just, I don't know. My kind of like, not personal story, that's a bit much. My just background with this title and with this name is as I've seen it pop up on, I'm sure, like 10 different projects, none of which are coming out anytime soon. And it's like Star Wars. Star Wars is just stuck at this phase of not making things. But like if they even said like 2027 and there was an actual feeling that it could come out in like let's say 2027, I would be more excited about that because I want Star Wars to have really, really great content because Star Wars is interesting. And I can see the reasons for being excited for this game. It just feels like it's about 10 years away if it even does happen at all. And it won't be because, Casey Hudson's done something or because of the development team. It'll be because of Lucasfilm or Disney shenanigans or something. So anyway, any thoughts of your own on this game?
Yeah, it's things like this that really piss me off because this is what's wrong with the game industry. The studio that has this game was created this year. It is literally
Right, yeah.
not brand new, but it's basically not even technically an infant yet. And Casey has come out and promised this game will be out before 2030.
You
And
can't
if you
promise
believe
that, though.
that, then I got a bridge that I can sell you.
Right.
And w even if it came, even if it was like 2 years out,
Wait, what year did you
why?
say, sorry?
The Casey guy that you're talking about,
Yeah.
the studio head, he
Yeah.
actually was on Twitter or X or Blue Sky, one of the social media things. I don't know. I don't care anymore. He actually said this game will be out before 2030. Trying to
But
make that promise.
even if it comes out in 2029, that's still ages away.
Yeah, there's no reason to announce this game that far out. It's
Yeah,
like
I
what they
kind
did
of,
with
yeah.
the
I'm there with you.
Elder Scrolls 6 or Fable, but they've laid off so many people at that studio that I don't even think Fable's going to come out ever.
I forgot about Elder Scrolls 6.
Yeah,
That
so
hasn't
did
come out
everybody
yet, has it?
else, because they announced it like 7 years ago.
Yeah, because wasn't that one of Bethesda's big first, and everyone's like, oh, Bethesda conferences, and then they like Todd Howard felt like he had to go big, and we, yeah, anyway, so again, exciting, interesting idea. There's a lot of good things going for this game. It's just, will it exist or come out,
Yeah, Elder
or
Scrolls 6 was announced June 10th, 2018.
yeah,
So we're closing in
we
on
probably
10
covered it on
years.
this podcast,
Yeah.
yeah, on episode probably 200 and something. So yeah, so we'll see if that comes out before I hit 40, which is in about 9 years. Then we've got Snare the Divinity trailer. I know that people looked forward to that. I have nothing to say about that, really. The next one, I think it's this one, Coven. Bloody ads on YouTube. I'm trying to do a podcast here. Let's just wait for that to. Okay, I can skip the ad. Is this the one that I think it is? Yes. So this is supposed to be. I don't know nothing about this. So this is supposed to be from Bruce Stradley, who was the co-director of Last of Us 1. Because he worked with Neil Druckmann on that and then left afterwards. No, sorry, he also directed Uncharted 4 when Amy Hennig left, and then Neil and Bruce took over that project. And it's this little like companion game, which, interesting, again, Naughty Dog kind of DNA, I suppose. It was cool to see this. I don't remember them saying, did they say in the show if this was from Bruce? I don't think that they did. I think I found out afterwards that this was from Bruce Stradley. So while the game itself doesn't look specifically interesting to me, while it's got the companion thing and Bruce Stradley is part of, I guess, like probably directing it or something, that takes my interest. I think that might be an interesting one. What do you think of that one, Coven of the Chicken Foot? It's a bit of a funny name.
I did not see that.
Oh, okay. It's, yes, yeah, an animated one. There's like an elderly woman and this, what is that that's with her? A big sheep. Yeah, and it's got, what art style could I compare it to? That's not a sheep. What am I talking about? some sort of animal. Yeah, and you probably go through and do cool puzzles and things like that. So that'll be interesting. Ontos? Was this the, I think I liked this one as well. Was this the really weird looking one? It had, you have to just bear with us while we rewatch certain bits of trailers and stuff. From the creator of Soma. I swear it was this one. Yeah, it has a bunch of weird, mysterious stuff going on, and that kind of took. Yes, it is this one. I remember there was a bit where someone's like peeling their face off in this trailer. Just wanted to try and find that. So that looks pretty interesting as well. I didn't play Soma. Maybe I should if this looks interesting to me. So, because I like those sort of weird and wonderful, not weird and wonderful for the sake of it, but sort of mystery. Like someone is doing this weird thing for some reason, but why is that reason? Or what's your interpretation of it? Do you remember that one? Ontos?
I skipped a good chunk of the Game Awards because it was getting really long in the tooth and really late.
Yeah.
And when they opened that show with that sheep herding demo thing, I'm like, okay, they're not taking my interest seriously.
Yeah. But that was that one. Then we had Resident Evil Requiem. I'm still just. I wish I cared more about Resident Evil because I feel like I'm supposed to. I know I've mentioned that on this show before. Leon's back and everyone lost their minds. And it's. He's got the action side and the other character's name I cannot remember. She's got the more stealth side. It does look very good. It's just. Resident Evil just annoys me because, again, I feel like it's such a massive, big, especially in the gaming and in the PlayStation, ecosystem. And it is horror, and it is like infected. You can't call them zombies because they operate in a totally different way, and some of them turn into monsters. It's just, I kind of wish that one, the canon made any sense, and I'm sure a Resident Evil fan could, sit next to me and explain, like, hey, this is this, and this is this, and this is this. But I almost just wish it took itself more seriously. It's this annoying tonal thing for me of, people are dying, there's all kind of crazy stuff happening and whatever else, but it's almost like a, not Z Nation aspect to it, not like a sci-fi channel aspect, but it's like 90% serious, and I want it to be like 95% serious. I don't know, maybe I'll check it out when it comes out, or maybe I'll watch somebody play it. I'm not sure. What was Exodus? Let's wait for that to load. Oh, another one that I took a bit of an interest in. Sorry, that's loaded now. Exodus is space game. Did I take interest in this one? This looks all right. It's like a sci-fi space game with some combat. It looks okay. Looks a tad on the side, generic maybe. Do you remember Exodus in here?
Vaguely.
This guy puts on like an arm at some point, and he gets these abilities to like raise platforms and things. So that could be interesting. If and when it comes out. Yeah, one that kind of took my surprise was Gang of the Dragon. So this is, I think, in the same vein as like the Yakuza type games, none of which I've really ever properly gotten into. But that had a pretty good trailer. I don't know if they, I mean, obviously we're in the era of adapting games to certain things. If you adapt some of those to like TV shows and films, there might be a better way to consume those for me, maybe. Although I think they did do a Yakuza TV show, didn't they? So, any thoughts on Gang of Dragon World?
I'm sure the people that are fans of that series are going to love it. I've never really gotten into it.
Yeah. Plus, there's, do you find with that, there's like so many games. So I think you start from Yakuza 0 or Yakuza 1 and go forward, but there's like all the other ones as well. So, I don't really have anything to say about the Street Fighter film. How about you?
No, not really.
Yeah. I'm sure it'd be great for those fans, and the cast is certainly enthusiastic, but I didn't watch the Mortal Kombat film, so I'm not sure about that one. Lego Batman had a new trailer. This game just looks better every single time we see it, and it's just so curious and so interesting that it does completely look like you've somehow converted a photorealistic game and its combat into a Lego game, because it looks like the same gameplay. Not in a sort of copy and paste way, but you've converted it into that, which just looks really just really interesting. So, any new thoughts on the Lego Batman?
No, because I'm not a fan of the Lego games as a franchise. I got nothing against them. It's just they are too collect all the things. It's basically a second job trying to complete that game.
Then we move on to a big one, which Jeff kept bringing up over and over and over again. Two Tomb Raider trailers, one of which is apparently a remake of the first game, and another of which is, I think, Legacy of Atlantis is the actual new game as the start of a new trilogy. They showed the classic like dinosaur chase scene and all that kind of stuff. It'd be very interesting with this third trilogy. Yeah, third trilogy. Because you got the classic 2013, now this one. I know there was 4, 5, and 6 as well, but I mean like original entries of where they go, because we live in a world where, like, Indiana Jones came out, obviously that fed into Tomb Raider. Tomb Raider then fed into Uncharted, which then fed back into Tomb Raider, which I think then fed back into Uncharted, which then I think has now gone back into Tomb Raider. Obviously similar, like, genres and stories and things like that. So this will be in a post Uncharted 4 era, which even that was nearly 10 years ago, of what approach they take. Because I did hear from some people that with the 2013 one, that it was a bit too action oriented, which, hey, that's kind of what Uncharted did, and Tomb Raider took a page out of that book. I will probably play both these games, because I care about that character, and obviously very iconic and all that sort of thing. B, I think this needs to find a balance in some way of the survival stuff and then the action stuff to not make it completely like an action game. I didn't actually finish the last of the Tomb Raider reboot because I just really didn't enjoy that game. But we'll see where that goes. We'll see where that goes. I think the remake one is out first, and then the other one is out some point after that. So, yeah, Jeff kept bringing it up. Of course, that's a big thing for the show. What do you think of both the Tomb Raider games?
I think that when you make Tomb Raider games and it's not about raiding tombs, then it's just, false advertising. Because they've
Right.
already said that it's not going to be, tomb after tomb going in, checking these things out, bringing the stuff back or whatever, like Indiana Jones. It's just, it's going to be more of their messaging as they have done for the last couple of games, and it's going to suffer because of it.
Again, I think you can do tomb raiding and you can do action, but I think you just need to find a balance, so we'll see what to do with that. Invincible Versus had a new trailer. I'm very curious to play this game. I'm a big fan of the TV show. Do intend to read the comic book at some point, maybe. Of course, that's from Robert Kirkman, the Walking Dead guy. So that looks really great. Do you watch Invincible? Can't remember.
I've watched it. Yeah, I mean it's okay. I'm impressed that Amazon lets them get away with something that bloody, but outside of that,
Well, they make the boys as well, so, and
that's
Jimby.
true.
Yeah. You could not in the same way of storytelling and tone and things like that, because they're completely different. Invincible is much more serious, but you do kind of have two superhero in quote shows on Amazon that like are very, very, very bloody. It's just one of them's animated and one of them's live action, if you think about it that way. I mean, in terms of, spoofing and all the silly stuff that The Boys does, it's not the same at all as Invincible. So the tone and story and whatnot is totally different, but two very gory, violent superhero TV shows. That looks very good. Let's go past a few of these. Marvel Rivals. They showed some more from First Light. That's got is it Lenny Kravitz
Yeah, that makes no
in?
sense whatsoever.
Why does that not make sense?
'Cause it's supposed to be like retro, so we're talking like maybe 70s, 80s, and here's a modern day singer who probably hasn't had a number one hit in 20 years. It's just very random for him to show up in a video game.
But yeah, he's going to be in that. I think the game continues to still look really excellent. Lords of the Fallen 2, never going to play that. Saros, we've talked about that on the show before. Arc Raiders, Ace Combat 8, that's cool for those people that like it. Any thoughts on Star Wars Galactic Racer? That
Same
could be.
category as the Fate of the Republic. You're announcing it. It's not going to be out in for another 5 years. So
Yeah.
you're just wasting my time.
Yeah, just announced it in a couple of years. I remember this game when it came. I'd like kind of forgotten this game, but it's called Out of Words. I really, really like the look of this game. I love those kind of like small world platformers, if that makes sense. Your sort of Little Nightmares, Limbo, Inside, any of those kind of games. This looks to be sort of similar to that, and the idea and the art style there looks really, really cool. It was one that was like in the back of my mind, but I'd sort of forgotten the name of it and stuff. We'd seen it at a showcase or something before. But that looks like my kind of game, I think. How about you?
Yeah, it's probably not one I'm going to play, but I'm sure one of the people that I follow on Twitch, when I want to watch a game that I'm not going to play but see what it's about, I
Yeah.
can pick like three out off the top of my head that I'll probably play it at some point.
Yeah. But yeah, that game looks right on my street, so I can't wait to see it. And they showed off a 45-second Mario Galaxy trailer, apparently. I think it just went by like that. We know the game is coming out.
Is it the game or the movie? Because there's.
Sorry, film. Yeah, not game. Yeah, my bad. The film that is coming out. And then you said it was called High Guard, right?
Highgarden, yeah.
Yeah, that is the last video I have here. So in terms of like new game announcements, because Out of Words had already been announced. I guess there was one or two that stood out. The what was the ones I mentioned earlier? It was Batman we already knew about. Where were the two? There was two, wasn't there, that I mentioned? Let me scroll down a bit. They've disappeared. Pragmata I mentioned. Bradley the Badger looked interesting, and it was called. Oh yeah, Covenant of the Chicken and the Foot, and then Antos. Those are the three kind of new announcements to me that I was actually interested in. So, and then this Out of Words trailer. As I was watching this show and seeing what they were putting out and all that, and I spoke about this a little bit on this week's Geek Town. I feel like the industry is genuinely at a bit of a point, apart from the issues that we know that are there, like greed and live service games and things like that. Aside from that issue, because of timing and how games work now and things like that, and because GTA 6 was gonna be out in May and now it's been pushed to November, I feel like the entire game industry, unless you're FIFA or COD or something really, really big, is just waiting for that game to get out of the way. And not that it's going to come and go and people are going to forget. Obviously, people are going to play it for years. But because what you'll need to do if you're any other game, pretty much, is come out either at least, what, a month before GTA 6, or probably come out. I mean, if it does come, let's say it does come out in November, don't even think about releasing a game for the rest of the year. Just come out in like 2 weeks into January, when people have like, when they've like played and watched all their Christmas break stuff, and they're looking for the next like new game. I think then, so you either release something what right at the start of October, or you release something like a couple of weeks into January. Because like if you come out obviously anywhere near in November or certainly in December, because a lot of things that do come out in December tend to get a little bit forgotten about as well, I've noticed. So, yeah, but it's interesting with this one as well, because I noticed a lot of early dates for games that have already been announced. So things like the Lego game and the James Bond game and a few others, of like that, those are sort of the well-known games that people are already aware of. And that's obviously like what, 7, 8 months before GTA 6. But then, if certain developers, it feels like everybody's just holding their cards close to their chest, because like, right, we don't want our card to be too close to GTA 6, because it will just get cannibalized. So if you're then a developer who's thinking like, right, we can come out sort of September, October, maybe. That's when our game can maybe be finished. And then let's say you get to that month. And you realize you need, let's say, another year in the oven or something, and then GTA gets delayed another 6 months. You're then gonna have to keep pushing your game around this game. I don't know. So anyway, that's the general feeling I got in terms of, because the two Star Wars games we covered there, depending on how long GTA 6 does end up getting delayed for. Obviously, those two games are going to be probably years after, if we're talking like 2030, 2029 or something. So that would be more the safe area. Do you agree with me, or see something different in that way, or what would you kind of think?
I think you can't really plan your game around somebody else's launch
It'd be
schedule
very
because
difficult, but
it just
yeah.
it throws your timing off, it throws your team off. you're paying bills to, everybody that's working on stuff to not have a game out. I mean, if it's ready to get out, get it out. I mean, all you have to do is look at this year. The Oblivion remake launched, and that did not stop Expedition 33 from launching in the same damn week and crushing everything. Even though the Oblivion remake crushed everything.
But I just wonder if, when they had that May date, and if some dev teams thought, like, if we then were to show our game at the Game Awards and it definitely comes out after May, we then got more of the rest of the year to show our game. Whereas, like, it's sort of okay, can we get our game out before the second half of next year? If not, then just bump it to 2027, pretty much. Unless you're coming out in like August. I don't know. Maybe I've got all that totally wrong, but that's again, you're gonna have the FIFAs, you're gonna have the CODs coming out, October, November next year. That's gonna happen, but those are gonna always do pretty good numbers anyway. So we'll see. We'll see how all that shapes out, I guess, in the next. We'll see what the next sort of 7 months looks like for video games. So, all right, that's it for the award. Let's go over. Of course, we won't go through all of them. Through the actual awards. Of course, Expedition 33, Expedition 33, and Expedition 33 was the main gist of things. I don't need to even click on them, but you got Content Creator of the Year, which was most critical. Most anticipated game was GTA 6.
Have you seen that clip of Moist Critical? It is hilarious.
You'll
So
have to
he
be
was
more
not at the
specific.
Game Awards. He was actually live streaming while the Game Awards was going on, and he wins that, and it's so nonchalant. It was like, I've won this award. You kind of wonder, is he drunk, stoned, both, or just really doesn't give a fuck?
Or if he maybe didn't have a lot of competition. I don't know. Maybe some of them content creators I just don't really know or something. That's not felt like a completely competitive category for a while. There always seems to be like one person that's just much more obviously known in that category. At least I feel like. But no, I didn't see the clip to actually
I'll
answer your
send it to
question.
you when we're done. It's hilarious.
But yeah, he won that, and the most anticipated game was that. Best adaptation. Let's just talk about this for a second, because I have some things, some just I have some nonsense that I have to talk about, because I find the reception around Last of Us 2, whether you liked it or didn't, that's totally up to you. I find it to be genuinely quite funny and interesting. So Last of Us 2 won it, and that's fantastic. So Neil and Neil Druckmann, obviously, and then Gabriel Luna, who plays Tommy in the TV show, for those of you that might not know, who's Joel's brother. They're on the stage. They collect the award. He just gives this nice, gentle speech, thanking people, and so that ha happens, and then collects his award, walks off stage, nice and just nicely done. And then I see online afterwards, and this goes back a little bit, right? So I'll try not to take too long to get through this story, but there's just some interesting threads here that I noticed. So Last of Us 2 comes out. Obviously, there's a thing that happens in that game. I'm still not going to spoil it, because in case people don't know or haven't played it, because David didn't know for 5 years until he watched season 2. A thing happens in the game, and some people weren't very happy about it, and they weren't happy about it for their particular reasons. And they, of course, sent certain things to Neil and Hallie and the rest of the team, and Neil was, blamed for that choice. So that was the first kind of checkpoint. And then season 2 comes out, right? And obviously, because Craig Mazin wasn't involved in the game at all, he was involved in being the sort of television person, because Neil Druckmann's not a television person. Craig Mazin is. Of course, he did like Chernobyl. And any single time that anything, whether you could say went wrong or you didn't agree with season 2, I never once in the entire 7 weeks saw anyone point the finger at Neil, even though Neil and Craig and Hallie, or a mix of the three, wrote all the episodes. So any single time that anything didn't quite go right or wasn't quite to people's taste, Instead of pointing at the time the guy, who is Neil Druckmann, they started pointing at Craig Mazin. Because he was like the person, even though Neil was still on the team and he was one of the people that made the original story choices for Last of Us 2, most of those things still happen in season 2. So that was kind of an interesting thread with that. And then here he gets on stage, he doesn't mention Craig Mazin's name, and of course people came out in their droves and went, oh see, he hates season 2, he's fallen out with Craig, that's why he left, da 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 da. Was Neil supposed to stand there and mention every single person? Because he didn't say Hallie's name, he didn't say Bruce's name, he didn't say Anthony's name, he didn't say Evans's name. He just tried to go for a bit of a quicker speech and say, you know, thanking the team, mentioning a couple of people's name here and there. But when you've got, like, essentially four different things, the first game, second game, first season, second season, you can't stand there and thank every single person. So, of course, the conspiracy theories started coming out about, like, oh, look, he has fallen out with Craig. He didn't mention his name. He didn't thank him. Well, he loves working with Hallie Gross as well. He didn't mention her name on the stage. He didn't mention, like I just said, like three or four other people that are very noteworthy in Naughty Dog. But he thanked the Naughty Dog team. He thanked the production team, which includes all those same people anyway. I just find that so funny, how, like, okay, so those of you who were blaming Craig because he was the TV guy for some of the smaller changes, you're now annoyed that he's not thanking that person who you don't like the work of. I don't understand. What do you think of that situation? I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this is the problem that I've always had with adapting a video game to a movie or a TV show, when you have to follow specific scripts and plot points. This is why the Fallout works so well, is because you can mention characters from the game, but if you're not following those characters, or if you're following new characters, you can basically do whatever you want within reason. Now, season 2 comes out this week, and it's going to be kind of interesting because they are going to New Vegas, which, you know, has already been established as a video game. So we'll have to see what they integrate with what's established as canon and what they add into the game and from the add into the TV show.
Yeah. Do you know what's funny? I can already see the other side, which is like, if he did get on the stage and thank Craig, you would have had people doing the other thing, which was, why did he thank Craig? Craig ruined it. So he can't win then, can he? So
no, you can never win.
Yeah, he either doesn't thank him and you go, oh look, he's fallen out with him because he didn't mention his name, or and then he does thank him and you go, oh, why are you thanking him? He ruined it. So I just find that funny, how like Craig adapted a thing which did pretty much the same thing, but because he's the guy that you now point at, you're no longer pointing the finger at Neil, because yeah, anyway, I just find that funny. Anyways, moving on from that, I don't think we need to go over, let's click on best multiplayer next. Your game here won Ark Raiders, beats Battlefield 6, Elden Ring, Night Rain, Peak, and Split Fiction. I guess you're pretty happy about that.
I am. Elden Ring Night Rain, I got no hate against it being in a multiplayer category, but it's not really a multiplayer game. That's a function.
You invite them into your world or something, don't you?
Yeah, saying Baldur's Gate 3 is a multiplayer game. That's technically correct, but most people don't play it as a multiplayer game. It's like a sidecar to a motorcycle. And Battlefield 6, I'm honestly surprised that didn't take it out, but the game, you know, Ark Raiders is just too damn popular for anybody to really say anything about it.
Yeah. It's interesting as well with, I've done another podcast that's going to come out at some point with the Call of Duty stuff, that what's going on with Black Ops 7 and the sales, and it just wasn't, not the Black Ops 7 itself, but like Warzone or COD, none of those things were in any category, which I just found really interesting. So Best esports racing game. Wished that Rematch had won this. I'm glad it just wasn't FIFA because that would have been a bit just cool. They won that. Mario Kart World won, which I'm not totally against. You got Sonic Racing Cross Worlds. I'm just glad that EA FC didn't win that. I don't know if we should go through all of that again. Action
No, I don't think we need
adventure.
to go through all of them.
Yeah, most of them were Expedition 33. Independent game is either independent game or debut indie game. I think did Expedition win both of those? I think.
Yeah.
Best ongoing was No Man's Sky. Which one did I want to look at here? Was it Games for Impact? Yes, South Midnight won for a Games for Impact, which I really like to see that game win something. So that was really nice. I think it won for was it Innovation? Oh no, that was Doom Dark Ages accessibility category. That was South of Midnight, EAFC for some reason, Doom, Atomfall, and for some reason Assassin's Creed Shadows. But yeah, glad to see. I knew it didn't have a chance for being like Game of the Year nominated or anything else like that, but great that South of Midnight, because I do really love that game, was did win something, so that was pretty good. Best performance was, of course, Jennifer English. I love both her speeches that she gave, both at Golden Joysticks and here. Love to see. I don't know if some of you noticed, but Ben Starr, who of course, was Verso in the game, like cheering in the seat behind her. So that was just it's just man, Expedition 33 just dominated the show, which was just awesome. But because I've watched like a few different videos with Jennifer and with Ben, and clearly, like, you know, get along really well, work together really well,
Oh
both
yeah,
play like
you could tell
fantastic
they vibe.
characters, and just really. She called him like his brother and stuff, which is really nice. So I'm just really happy for her. How
Yeah,
about
it's
you?
kind of like watching, Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman hanging out, and you could just tell.
But no, just really happy for her. I think if it had been either Ben or Jennifer, they both would have been happy for each other.
He
So,
wasn't nominated, but I really wished
was he not? I thought he
that
was.
Andy Serkis had been nominated and won for that category. And that's no shade against.
It was Ben, Charlie, and Jennifer.
Yeah, and that's no shade against Jennifer. She does an amazing job, but when you just listen to the monologuing of Andy, and you can just hear that experience of acting in his voice from decades of movies. It gives you chills. It's like in the first Thor movie. This is a funny story that Tom Hiddleston tells every now and then. In that first scene where Odin is stripping Thor of his powers, and they're all like watching in awe as this god among men of actors is just delivering a world-class performance in this, let's face it, at the time, C-tier list movie. He says, "Yeah, we were all just like, okay, I quit acting. I'm going home. I can't compete with that."
But yeah, very happy for Jennifer English. I'm now looking at, okay, best audio design, score and music, art direction, narrative, game direction, game of the year. Expedition 33 won most of those. I can't
Nine
remember
categories total.
what did they not win is the better.
I don't know if they were up for audio design.
Let me look at that one. Oh, Battlefield 6 won that over Expedition
Yeah.
33.
Most of the ones they didn't win, they weren't nominated for, or they just there's something else. The only change I would have made is RPG and switch that to Kingdom Come Deliverance 2, just because I do feel like that game deserved something at least. And that's one that they could honestly win and nobody would really care too much about it. I'm just going through the nominees and seeing what they didn't
Every
win.
single thing I click on is a winner. It was one other thing that they didn't win. I'm trying to. Was it art direction? No, they won that one. Was it? It wasn't. They won score and music, didn't they? Yep, they won that one as well. Lorien. I loved his speech next to
Claire's voice.
The other woman.
The Wuthering Waves, whatever the hell that is. I've literally never heard of it. That's the other category they didn't win.
Yeah.
And that was actually
not
a stacked
not
competition,
in best
too,
action game.
Because Player's Voice had, you know, Expedition 33, Dispatch, Death Stranding 2, Ghost of Yote, Kingdom Come Deliverance 2, Silent Hill F. Any one of those could have won it, and I've literally not heard at all of Wuthering Waves. Looks
Yep,
like it's some
everything I click
anime
on has
thing.
come out with them as a winner. So they seen it all, they've won the lot. That's Man United's one of Man United's songs. But yeah, the winner overall is very much Expedition 33. And look, while I think it thoroughly deserves that, because I think this game is phenomenal. Interesting that Death Stranding 2 literally didn't pick up anything, but then I was disappointed in the game. So, there you go. I wish it, I know people liked things like, you know, Hades 2 and KCD 2. KCD 2 I did try, didn't quite get into. Hades 2 I was never going to play. I just wish it had, like, another different big game next to it. I don't know what that would have been, but yeah. What do you think of its, like, competition that it had, I suppose?
Hang on, I'm trying to find the action category here.
Oh, I think I had it.
Yeah, here it is. I'm okay with it. I mean, Battlefield, it's a shooter. You know what you're going to get. Ninja Gaiden 4, I think. I know that game came out, but I don't remember it blowing up like Hades 2 did. Same with Doom. Doom came out. It launched pretty good, and then it fell flat. Shinobi was okay. I played the demo for that, but it never really caught my eye. I haven't played 2, but I have played Hades, the first one, and I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, congratulations to Expedition 33 for sweeping up the awards.
And no real surprise, it's gotten a big bump from sales after all the awards for it came out.
Yeah, they put out some new content with a thank you trailer. I did go and actually buy the game not after the show directly. It was on sale, and I went and got that. So, because I want to try out the new content, and I think I just want to revisit certain bits, or just go through it. It's just, I just now I own the game, so that's cool. So, what did you do? Did you play it through Game Pass, or did you buy it?
I bought it. I haven't had Game Pass for a while, and I actually refused to re-up my core or basic or whatever the hell they're calling it now. Just price increases.
It is. It's very expensive now.
Have
yeah.
taken any value out of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you buy it on PC or on Xbox?
On Xbox. This is a game that, I mean, you could use a controller on PC, but it's definitely a controller game, and controller games I tend to buy on my Xbox.
Yeah, you don't need mouse precision for this one.
Nope.
Cool, that's all I got for the Game Awards and whatnot. What do you want to talk about this week?
I got a few things we can burn through real quick. Even though we're close to the end of the year, Nintendo was able to get one more dick move in. As you know, Metroid Prime 4 launched recently. Not great reception, by the way. And then this thing came out. So there is an open world aspect, and you're riding around on your bike, and it is absolutely dead quiet outside of the engine noise and the ambient wind of the desert. The reason why it is quiet is because you cannot turn on the radio for background music until you do one of two things. You either completely 100% the game, you know, collect all the things, do all the things, go to all the places, or You buy a $30 Amiibo toy to scan
I
and
forgot about
unlock
those
it.
things.
Now, this isn't the first time Nintendo has pulled this fuckery. With the Twilight Princess HD remake, they locked out an entire dungeon if you didn't buy the Wolf Amiibo. But this isn't like a dungeon that you can say, oh, you don't really need it. Oh, it's bonus content, whatever. This is actual game function locked behind a paywall.
Yeah, until you literally just mentioned that, I forgot Amiibos were a thing. They were made quite a big deal of in the Switch 1 era, if we want to call it an era. I don't know what we. Yeah, anyway. Yeah, I mean, neither of these makes sense, but the first one actually makes less sense to me because that's something that does annoy me in some games a bit when it's like, okay, now that you've completely completed this game and while you can still play it, you have no actual reason to. Here's this thing you can now unlock. And it's like, great, but I've just completely beaten the game. Especially for something like a radio that you would, I assume, use as you go through the game the first time, or the second or third time, whatever. So yeah, both are very, very poor choices.
Yeah, and most people don't 100% the game.
Yeah, or like, I doubt anybody would like 100% it and then be like, oh, cool, I can listen to the radio. Let's play it through.
Yeah, let me drive around in the open world area with nothing to do just so I can listen to the in-game music.
Yeah, both weird choices, indeed. Yeah, I've not heard the greatest things about this game. I do remember I played Metroid Dread whenever that came out, and I it was probably one of the Switch's best games. But obviously won't be stepping into this one. So, didn't this game take like ages to make as well? Didn't it, wasn't this the one that they had to restart development on? I think it was Prime 4, because there was a remake of one of them a couple of years ago. But I remember a good 5, 6 years ago or something, they announced, pretty sure it was Metroid Prime 4, said now in development, and then about 3 years later, they said, hey, yeah, we've run into some whatever, we're restarting development. So, I don't know, maybe you ended up with this, or maybe it's a different game I'm talking about. So, yeah. Anyway, Nintendo doing Nintendo things. So,
Yep.
there you go. All right, what do you got next?
Next up, we got some news from Sucker Punch Studio. Brian Fleming, the co-founder, is leaving the studio. Fleming will be, quote, passing Sucker Punch Studio leadership onto a new generation with Jason Connell and Adrian Bentley taking over as co-studio heads January 1st. There's no real explanation as to why, but given the fact that they've had two games come out in the last 10 years, maybe he just feels like he's got better things to do with his time, especially if no, I know you love the Ghost of Yote right now, but it's just not getting the sales and the recognition that Tsushima did. And this is a sequel to an IP, so
Yeah, I'm trying to think what the, because you said 10 years, what the last game they did make before Tsushima? Because I know they was doing Ratchet, no,
it
not
was
Ratchet, sorry, that's
literally
Insomniac.
this game, Tsushima, and then Infamous Second Son.
Oh yeah, Infamous, that's it. It's one of Sony's forgotten IPs. I was thinking like Spyro and Ratchet, but I think that's Insomniac. Spider-Man people, yeah, different studio. Yeah, that would have been on the PS. No, they had Second Son on the PS4, but that was like 2013, 14 or something.
Yeah, I had Infamous on PS3. It's actually part of a Black Friday deal. Way back in the day, I was looking for new games and Black Friday was coming up, and I said, okay, well, if PS3 has a good deal, I'll get it. And it was PS3, Infamous Second Son, Batman Arkham City, and a copy of Batman Begins on Blu-ray for the same price. So two games and a DVD for free for buying the game. It's like, yeah, that's a decent enough deal, and that's how I got my PS3.
Cool. Nice. But yeah, I it's be interesting to see, yeah, what they do, where they do go next. Do they go back to Infamous? Do they make a third Ghost game? If they do the same thing of like jump another 100 years and you have a third different protagonist. But I think what would maybe make sense for them to do next, I don't know how many different teams they've got, is maybe to yeah rem go grab some of those PS3 the original Infamous games, and go remaster them, I think, or ask Bluepoint to do it. But then we still don't know what Bluepoint is doing, I think. So, and that was about 5 years ago. Man, games are starting to take way too long to get made, aren't they? You're talking like every five. It used to, I swear it used to be every 2 to 5 years. Now it's every 5 to 7 years. And none of us are getting older, younger, are we? So, yeah. But then you don't want any studios to, rush and hurry up, because then you get bad products, and then that takes time to fix, and then none of us win, do we? So, yeah. Yeah, but I don't know. Where do you think they might go next?
I have no idea. Unfortunately, the voice actor for Quark in the Ratchet games has passed away last week, so I don't know that they'll want to bring that out anytime soon.
That's Insomniac, Ratchet and Clank.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, making the copying my mistake. I mean, they may just go new IP, they may go back to Infamous, they may do a third Ghost. We'll find out in like 4 years or
Yeah, the
three
only thing
years.
that's on deck is the Legends, which is the multiplayer version that they did for Yote for
I forgot about that.
Tsushima.
Is that still active?
I have no idea.
I haven't heard about it getting shut down or anything, so yeah. Would make sense if they did a little something with Yote and tied that in, unless they have and I just don't know. So
Well, I know for Tsushima, the Legends was a free update, so at most you probably do the same with that.
yeah, we'll see. All right, what else do you want to talk about?
Now, this falls under the category of believe what they do way more than what they say, because they're saying, oh, Black Ops 7, great, amazing, blah 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 blah, and then they do all this thing. Activision has announced a week-long free trial of Black Ops 7 multiplayer mode starting today, the 16th, and running to the 22nd. Players can access 20 plus maps, the Ashes of the Dam map for zombies, team deathmatch, hardpoint, domination, kill confirmed, as well as holiday havoc and prop hump, prop hunt. Yeah. Along with that, Black Ops 7, even though it's been out for what, less than a month,
About
is
that,
on
yeah.
a 30% sale. So the base price is now $50, and the Vault Edition is $80. And also, Microsoft brought back the $1 Ultimate Trial so that you can buy Game Pass Ultimate for a dollar for a month and play that. So they could say, oh yeah, we had great sales, but their actions are not doing that. Along with that, Activision announced it will no longer release Call of Duty games in the same sub-series, like Modern Warfare or Black Ops, in consecutive years going forward. So not only are they cheap making the game hella cheap for them, for their standards or whatever, they're not going to release as many.
Just for note, I do have a podcast coming out about this news. I've recorded it recently, and I'm going to release it next week. Just to give a few comments on this, though, because I did go into this in like a much broader way. You never should have done two Modern Warfare games in the first place. Everybody pointed that out to you 2 years ago. I don't know why you released two Black Ops games back to back. And overall, it's interesting that in a year that has got ARC Raiders, which is successful, has just won an award, and Black Ops 6, which also has just won an award, against Black Ops 7 and Warzone, which weren't nominated, that they have been bumped a little bit in terms of this franchise is asleep at the wheel. I don't know if it's a case of people at Activision who should be replaced, or people at Microsoft who should be replaced, or whatever the case may be. But we always talk about things like with FIFA and Call of Duty, in the way of these two series have had no competition, particularly FIFA, and both of them are asleep at the wheel, and it's really disappointing to see. But it's interesting that in a year when lower numbers get reported for Black Ops 7, because the campaign is like a drug hallucination madness, which I've seen footage of, none of which makes any sense and looks utterly ridiculous. And then Battlefield 6 comes along. Hey, people are really happy with it. It sells really well, wins an award. Good stuff. Ark Raiders comes out. Don't know if that's the exact same competition, but you get what I mean. That comes out, does really well. Helldivers still getting updated. That's doing really well. And all anyone's talking about with Black Ops 7 is just this mess of this situation. I just still do not know, and I'm somebody who's been actively tracking this for years, why. And I know this is going back far, but there's like two or three different checkpoints. Why did you decide, and probably because you could market it as $70, where this started most recently going wrong is where you stupidly decided, okay, we'll put out Modern Warfare 2 and then give the dev teams 16 months, which I think is about half the time of the normal, to pump out an average at best, or poor at best, Modern Warfare 3, then do two Modern Warfare games back to back, and then for some also odd reason due to Black Ops games. They had a consistent cycle for what, 14, 15, 16 years of you've got three different series, three different dev teams, you give them each 3 years, and while not all the games are brilliant, that cycle was very clearly working. You didn't put back to back sequels out. You haven't done that since Modern Warfare 4 in sorry, Call of Duty 4, Modern Warfare. You haven't done that since 2007. So why they suddenly decided to do that? And that's obviously rocked things. And it's interesting that that gets specifically mentioned here, because I don't know anybody that was in favor of that, and I don't know why they did it. That the reasons for doing what they did with Modern Warfare 3, you get why, but they still don't make any sense. But I don't actually know why they did Black Ops 7 after 6. I don't know if it was some sort of, because I'm not as like into that series or whatever, but you've then got questions there that I haven't got the answers to. But it's just interesting that this franchise, which has been asleep at the wheel for a long time because it's found it too easy, and you know, Battlefield 2047 was going to come out and do something that didn't make any dent in Call of Duty, and now it's like, you know, the chair's been shaken, and Call of Duty's had to wake up from its sleep and be like, oh my god, Ark Raiders and Battlefield and poor sales, what the hell do we do now? And one other thing I'm going to be mentioning on the podcast is, like, I don't think this is the straw that's broken the camel's back, if that's the correct phrase. The straw or the camel's back, whatever the thing is, has been, it's been getting bent. It's not broken. But if you aren't careful, it will break. It will still take a lot of effort to break that camelback straw thing, whatever the phrase is. But yeah, it'll be very interesting to see this over the next 12 months. What happens when, you know, Black Ops 7 puts out its like seasonal stuff, when Battlefield puts out its seasonal stuff, and then very much what happens when Modern Warfare 4 comes out next year. And because I don't think there'll be a Battlefield 7 next year. They don't really do that as annualized franchises, and I doubt you're going to have like an Ark Raiders 2 next year. So yeah, let's the next 12 months for COD, Battlefield, Ark Raiders is going to be very interesting. Anyway, what do you think of this?
Well, I think here's another analogy you probably never saw coming. It's not the straw that gets the camel that breaks the camel's back. They're not getting bent. They're getting bent over and loaded up like a shotgun.
Yeah, my point is though the back's not, it's bending, but it's not broken
Okay, and
yet.
so you're completely missing my analogy, and that's fine.
I
We just skip past that. For those of you
right.
that do get it, thank you. But yeah, it's.
You can do whatever else you want to the camel, which is currently that's currently happening to the camel, but the thing isn't broken, which is my
Yeah,
point.
you're. I'll explain when we're done recording.
Okay. No worries. Anyway. But yeah, we'll see what the next I guess 12 months to 5 years looks like. So anyway. All right, what else do you want to talk about?
The last thing I have is still more. Why the hell is this a thing? Shenanigan. Sony has recommitted and reconfirmed that we're copying everybody else's shit. Extraction Shooter Marathon will be out in March 2026, and it will
Oh.
still have the $40 price tag. But it says now that it's quote unquote targeting that price. I don't get it. You got clowned on so hard after it was blatantly obvious how much stuff you were stealing in terms of artists, intellectual properties and whatnot. Nobody liked your shooter. You got downvoted into oblivion, but you just keep on coming.
Yeah. I don't think it's gonna make it. You know how I talked about with what are their names? Detroit, Heavy Rain, Beyond Two Souls, that developer. How they're doing the new Star Wars game, and then they announced that weird free to play thing, and that's free to play, and it feels like that's more cancelable. This doesn't feel like it's more. Although it could end up getting cancelled. I feel like this is another one where it's gonna. And look, maybe this game comes out and it's better than everybody thinks and it does really well, but I doubt it. But again, to me, it's one that's just. It just looks like another generic first person sci-fi multiplayer shooter, and we have too many of those. I said the same thing when we saw. Was it called Splitgate 2? That looked like the same thing, and we just have too many of these games. And. We need not that we need to stop making first person sci-fi shooter games, just these specific type of ones. But yeah, again, this is the remnants, I think, of Jim Ryan's era, still hanging over the edge, if you want to call it that. I think it's just gonna have to be a case of this game comes out, whatever hits it takes, it takes. If it survives, it does. It survives, it survives. If it doesn't and goes the way of a Concord, I don't think it will do as badly as something like a Concord, but then get this thing out the door. Whatever is going to happen is going to happen, and I'd strongly advise Bungie to hopefully you've got another game in development or you've still got stuff for Destiny 2, is to focus on that as quickly as possible and get the next thing out as quickly as possible.
The only thing that would make sense to me is if they technically have to release it before they can kill it and take a tax break.
Yeah, that's true. 'Cause I just, even if this game's better than we both think it is, or other people think it is, I just think the sort of survivability of it is not very good. I'd be curious to hear from some like actual Destiny, what Bungie's currently doing, the Destiny players, and see what they think of Marathon. I also don't really understand the difference between. So you made a development choice at one point, which was make this new game or keep working on Destiny stuff, and granted you can do both. What does Bungie think is better and different about Marathon that they thought that that was worth pursuing? And maybe it was a Sony thing, maybe it wasn't a Bungie thing. I have to remember that they are owned by somebody. They're not an independent company. Why they thought, why whoever the person that made the choice that did it thought that, like, okay, yeah, keep doing Destiny 2 stuff, but also do this. Why they think that that's worth it. This is again why I know I've revisited this pool a few times. Like, maybe this kind of thing is why they shouldn't have consulted Bungie on Last of Us Online. And then Bungie came out and said, like, oh no, you need to support this for a while. Which is true, but. Maybe Naughty Dog slash Sony asked the wrong company to consult on the game. I don't know. So we'll have to see. But what did you say, March something?
Yeah, March next year.
Yeah. I will say it's not that it's going to make a grand overall difference, but does look better coming out at $40 as opposed to 70. Slightly better, I think. So we'll see. All right, so that's all you've got for this week.
Yep.
All right, let's get some feedback, some emails. Of course, you can still write into the show. We will just address your email when we come back. Matthew at entertainmenttalk.org. Social media is either eTalk or Care Entertainment Talk, and there's information in your show notes. You can write in, let us know what you thought of the Game Awards, any games to you that stuck out that we either didn't like or didn't notice, or any of the same games. Let us know what you're playing, and anything else game related. Did I already say the email? I think I did. Yeah, Matthew at entertainmenttalk.org, eTalk UK, Entertainment Talk, and there's information in your show notes. Kate writes in technically first and says, "Hey, it's me from the Breaking Bad podcast. Hello, good to see you over here. Just caught last week's gaming talk as you mentioned the Liza P thing, and listened to that too. Congratulations. Yeah, still been one that I've been reflecting on, and of course I'll be probably talking it up and bringing it up on the stream tomorrow. It's genuinely been quite nice." Because of course, when I was doing that fight, I'd like go and watch other people do it, you know, see what they were doing, and maybe take some tips and whatnot. That usually ends up happening. But it's nice now to go and watch other people do it and know that my version's also done as well. Like I'm no longer watching on a screen somebody else's credits come up. It's credits in my game that I saw this time because I finally killed that thing and brought its health bar to zero. I'm still planning on maybe doing like a reflection podcast on it at some point. I might leave that till the new year. Maybe just, I mean, I'll be thinking about it for ages anyway. But, yes, thank you very much. Any thoughts, Robert?
No, I mean, we appreciate your continued patronage with listening to the podcast, all the podcasts. I know I'm only on this one on the occasional review one, but it's still appreciated.
Yep, thank you very much. Agreed. Abed says, "I managed to find and watch Liza P video. When you threw the shot put and then ran up to NP, I guess Nameless Puppet, what was going through your mind and are you going to try it again but on the hardest difficulty?" My mind at the time, because that wasn't a stagger, that was just where you, because there's two different sort of ways. You can like stun an enemy to where it just will, you've stunned it and it won't attack you. Ooh. And there's where like the white bar comes up, you stagger him, and you can do a Bloodborne style like visceral attack. But because I knew he'd be staggered for a bit, and I think I had like full stamina and whatnot, and I was like, "Look, there's a cube of health left. I think this is it. I'm just gonna have to go for it." And I guess it was slightly lucky that like half a second before I did the last couple of strikes, he was about to wind up and do another one of his spin attacks, and I just got him before that. But I think that was my kind of you've got to go for it now moment. Not the sort of greed of like, oh, you've hit him twice, you think you can hit him another three times and then you're gonna get punished because the enemy's gonna hit you back. But that was my sort of like, yeah, that's the go for it moment. That's the sort of like don't play defensive, if that makes sense. Am I gonna try on the hardest difficulty? My overall objective just simply became get this enemy's health bar down to zero, see the credits, and know that you've done it in some way. Maybe I'll try it on the harder difficulty one day, but I just, because I posed the question in the overcoming podcast, like, okay, because I was struggling with the boss, and then like, okay, who am I doing this fight for? Is it to prove it to myself that I can do it? Is it to do a video and prove it to other people, etc., etc. If I then go back in, and because you can do a boss rematch, and Nameless Puppet is in that list now. If I go back in and do it on the hardest difficulty, knowing that, okay, I did it on the easiest difficulty, which was still hard and challenging, who am I doing that part for? Is that to then prove to myself that I, it's the same question again, but it's sort of You have already done it. You don't. You literally do not need to do it again because you have now beaten the game. And I suppose the other question. Okay, if I did go in there, do it on the hardest difficulty, would that make me feel better? Because if it didn't, then that's almost a bit of a waste of the mental energy that that would take. So yeah, I don't know. Any thoughts on both those things, Robert?
And that's the same with a lot of people in a lot of games. Like when the original Mass Effect came out, I was playing it and I had done a Paragon run through and a Renegade playthrough, and I had one achievement left, which is to get a character to level 60, and that was literally the last achievement. And I just could not bring myself to play that game a third time just for that one single achievement, because there's always going to be something to where you just look at it and like, that's not worth my effort.
Yeah. How close was you to doing that?
I think I was like level 56 and I literally had done all the things and I had no idea how I was going to get to 60. I'm sure there was something I was missing in terms of the gameplay mechanics, and this was like 2006, 2007. So this is way before there was a lot more stuff on like YouTube and whatnot.
All right. So maybe I'll do it, but I need to kind of like want to actually do that because I killed the boss and that was my aim. Beth writes in and says, just two Last of Us things. I was shocked. Matt didn't fight back when Robert talked about season two. And did you know Expedition 33 apparently won 9 awards and Last of Us two only won 7? And I did look this up a little bit because I did see about it. I wanted to just see what the different ones were. It says, for context, Expedition 33 was nominated for a total of 11 categories. Title managed to win 9 of these awards, 11 to beat the previous record. In 2020, Last of Us 2 won 7. I couldn't find out how many it was actually nominated for. So Sandfall's RPG took the lead with 2 awards. The following awards, including Game of the Year, were won by this RPG. So yeah, it's interesting how people are kind of phrasing that as like, oh, it only won 7, including Game of the Year in 2020. I think one of the two differences is so both games did have a best performer winning, which they I would count that towards the game because it's still a person playing a character in the game. Because both Jennifer and it was Laura who won, Laura Bailey won as Abby in Last of Us 2. The thing I know it wouldn't have been nominated for was RPG because Last of Us 2 is not an RPG. And Expedition did win that.
Probably
They
not
both
for
won.
music either.
Yeah, it does have really great music, but in like a completely different way. I can't remember the specifics of like if it what other it wouldn't have won things like best indie game because it's from Naughty Dog, so it wouldn't have been nominated.
Wouldn't be best debut game either.
No, is that so that would have to be from new IP, right? Yeah, and obviously it was a second entry, so it would have been those things. So I think it was nominated for less things, but still won. Because I tried going back and looking back and seeing, but it just took too much to sort of like track everything. They won a lot of similar things though. I think they both won things like game direction and narrative, game of the year and performer. But yeah, things like independent game, indie game, RPG, score and music. It wouldn't have really been nominated for some of those things. So. But I love both games and they both won a ton of stuff. So that's what matters to me. Any thoughts at all?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure where the fighting part of that would come
I'm
from.
shocked I didn't fight back
Yeah,
that when you talked
exactly.
about season two. I think it was because you made the half joking thing about like, oh, they should take them all off and put Fallout. But Yeah, I just didn't. I didn't really think of anything else about it
I
past
mean, when
that.
it comes to at
So.
least the game, I've always said, hey, this isn't my thing. I've played this much. I wasn't interested, but you love it. Cool. I've always had that mindset of, I'm not going to say your opinion is wrong unless your opinion contains something factually wrong.
Right, yeah.
And outside of that, I've always had a problem with video games being adapted to TV and movies just because there's so much story in it
Yeah.
that it's impossible to get even the base run. And this is not a new thing. Long, long time ago, they did an animated movie based off of the Dragonlance book, Dragons of Winter Solace or something like that. I forget what it's called. But anyway, the book is like a good 15-hour read at a normal pace, and the movie was animated and it was like 90 minutes, and it honestly felt like a speed run through plot points.
Yeah.
But that's why I've said with the Fallout TV show, since you don't have that locked character narrative, it gives you a lot more freedom to do things at your own pace with your own storyline. And again, that's also why I'm very interested with season two to see how they try to interweave actual locked story points from Fallout New Vegas into the TV show. Because they are going to have to retcon a few things, and they are going to break continuity and canon in a few things. So we'll just have to see what happens with it.
But yeah, in the day, when it comes to criticism of either part two of the game or season two, I've up, down, left, and right, seen and read them all, and yeah, it's interesting as well when like, and I talked about this while we were covering Last of Us season two, when there was any changes that I didn't need an explanation for, and I was obviously fine with those, and then because obviously I listened to the official podcast, which had I think it was yeah, it was Troy who hosted it, Neil, I think it was Craig and Hallie every week. I think it was the three of them, or at least Craig, Neil, and Troy. And they would explain why certain things were changed or new things were added in that. And every single time there was a change that Troy asked, usually posed the question to Craig, because again he was the TV guy, he would explain it and I would understand each one. And then even with ones I didn't need explanations for, it was still interesting to see what he said. So I overall, yeah, it could have been different, it could have been different in different parts, but yeah, anyway, so let's go to the next one. Lauren says, first time, long time, welcome. I love the way Matt teases certain series slash podcasts and love the build up to talking about Liza P. Congratulations. I've not listened to the podcast yet, but looking forward to that. Yeah, let me know when you listen to it and what you think of my my journey with the game. Yeah, I love doing that kind of thing of just, hey, I'm gonna record this thing, not tell anybody what it is, and then just like I'll put social media posts out being like, hey, this date, this time, go here. Usually it's a link just to the homepage of the site, and let it be what it is. I like doing that kind of stuff. Or even when it's with like a classic review series, like, okay, you know what that might look like when you go into it, but you won't know what my six or otherwise choices are going to be. And that one is more deliberate because I don't like saying, hey, here's the six episodes, here's what each of them are, because I like the idea of kind of, hey, this new episode pops up in your feed, what is it going to be? Or when it comes to classic reviews, like, okay, a classic reviews episode's coming out, you know roughly the ballpark of where it's going to be. It's going to be something considered classic, but what is it going to be? So I like doing that. Yeah. Any thoughts on that, Robert?
No, I mean, I don't do really podcasts anymore outside of when I jump on Teams and, chat with you for a couple hours on this one.
Yeah.
So.
And then Gary is last one here, says first time, long time also, welcome. This one's a bit late, but we can still talk about it a little bit. Any last minute game award predictions? Sounds like no Intergalactic showing up. Anything else Sony could show? I don't think they did show anything specific, did they? Nothing exclusive anyway. Was there? No, nothing that comes to mind. Yeah, what, because I'm in the subreddit of Intergalactic as well, and it sounds like maybe some sort of thing in the summer to show more gameplay, and then some release in 2027. So, because I think like a week or two before the show, was it Jeff Grubb or somebody like that came out and said, like, yeah, this game's still years away. I guess to me, the idea made sense of, okay, we saw it last year at the Game Awards. Maybe that's the next checkpoint to show just another trailer. But we'll probably see. The game won't be out next year, but we'll probably see some more gameplay, some trailers. Any other predictions? So I guess anything else that we thought was maybe going to be there that wasn't? I'm not really sure because, again, I still feel like everyone's just waiting for GTA 6 to show certain cards. Because I feel like 90% of what we saw was either new trailers for existing things, or things we hadn't seen for a bit, or announcements of games that are going to be out, we assume, after GTA 6. Like those sort of CG 1 minute announcement trailers. Apart from that, there was only like a few other little announcements, really. And I don't know that I. Yeah, I didn't have any specific predictions really kind of going in, other than what we did see. So, plus with Sony, we know, like, okay, Wolverine's next year, so something else next year as well. And then, Intergalactic's a couple of years away, Spider-Man 3 is probably a couple of years away. I suppose there was the other point of, okay, were we going to see Corey Barlog's game, the Sony Santa Monica thing, and was it going to be like a God of War thing or whatever? That didn't show up, so obviously Sony Santa Monica's still busy. Spider-Man 3 is probably a couple of years away yet. Well, they're going to put Wolverine out first. So yeah, anything for you that you thought might be there that didn't show up?
The only thing that I thought might be there that didn't show up was some sort of official date and or price for all the Steam hardware coming out next year. Because
Right.
I think that would have been a great platform for that info to get released, but nothing came out of that, which I wasn't counting on it. But if I had to pick a category of what's the surprise thing going to be, that would have been my guess.
But yeah, the only thing I really had on my mind of like the big surprise thing is that Sony Santa Monica game. Because I feel like we just don't know a lot of, unless it had have been other things like a Gears of War trailer or a Fable trailer, but we already know about those games. I mean, like new, I'm talking like new stuff that we could guess but hasn't been officially announced yet. I don't know what that could be. So yeah, just need GTA 6 to come out so that the industry can go back to normal, I suppose.
There is no normal anymore.
That is very true. And that is it for our last show of the year. Thank you all very much for listening throughout the year, Robert. Thank you for continuing to join me for these episodes. I know we miss a week or two here and there for different reasons, but thank you for being my co-host again this year. And we'll continue next year doing the same thing. Not to sound boring, but we don't need to change it for any particular reason. I know we've been asked about like the format and stuff before, but yeah, there we go. I'll probably tweet out a date, or maybe you'll just see an episode plop into your podcast feed within the first, I'd say from the second week onwards, maybe of January. Just depends on news and what we've been playing, and I guess when we feel like coming back, I suppose. But it'll be some point in January. Anyway, in the meantime, there's a lot of stuff going on, as I mentioned. There is, of course, entertainmenttalk.org, podcast platforms for TV, games, films, a main night podcast. We've got, like I said, the best and worst of 2025. Go and check out our choices for those. Pixar podcast ranking the different 29 films. First episode's out. The next five will be continued Wednesdays 2 p.m. going forward until, I think, until the 14th or the 15th. So check that out. United Cast will be continuing, I think, for at least one more game. The West Ham game away on Sunday. So check that out. Call of Duty podcast next week. Month of Positive Creators January 1st, 2026. What is the other thing? I might do like a another thing or two maybe between now and the end of the year, but that's going to be kind of most of the stuff between now and then. What are the other things that we did? Yeah, those are some of those. Over on the Geek Town stuff, there is a lot of stuff going on over there. Maybe we can still go and vote on the Geek Town Awards. I think it closes. I'm not sure when it closes, but go over to geektown.co.uk and vote on the Geek Town Awards. You can win the prize and whatnot. Go and listen to the debate podcast where we chose the different things. David's also got Geekstorians, which is like a geek history podcast. He's on episodes 2 or 3 of that. That also comes out on Wednesdays as well. So go and check out. He's put a lot of work into that series, so go and support what he's doing over there. There's also Geek Town Talks 2, his new renamed like interview series, so check that out. There's, of course, Geek Town Radio from this week, which you should also check out. I feel like I'm forgetting something. There's so many things happening lately. Anything you want to mention at all?
I don't really do the online stuff in terms of like public consumption anymore. I barely post on Facebook. You follow me on Facebook, so you know that. I haven't posted anything on Instagram like a year. I do have one, but I never use it. Don't use Twitter. Never signed up for Blue Sky or Threads or any of that other stuff. I'm just very much, I'll leave you alone if you leave me alone kind of person, and I don't take that to the internet.
Cool. Nice. But yeah, go to geektown.co.uk, check out all those things I mentioned and all the podcasts on Entertainment Talk. You can support us, of course, word of mouth, social media, listening to more stuff. If someone mentions an episode we might have talked about, please tell them about that. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers for the ad-free podcast review options, that as well, if you'd like to. TV and film news as well over on Geek Town Radio, geektown.co.uk. Check all that out. And yeah, another reminder, tomorrow, 8 p.m, twitch.tv/eTalkUK, or to search for Entertainment Talk is one of those for the stream, and then you'll be able to catch it hopefully archived soon after that on YouTube, which is Entertainment Talk Players. Put a couple of ghost clips up there, some things that I did which were cool, so check that out. It's Entertainment Talk Players on YouTube. I think that's everything. Thank you very much for listening, and we will see you next time. Goodbye.